and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Israel Kim. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. This hour we have the program, Let's Read the Bible, which will help us to learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a daily devotional program for teenagers called Unlocked. The next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more people from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Among those who believe in God and live as a member of the church congregation, there are some who misunderstand faith. This means that there are some people who clearly don't know what faith is. They often believe that faith is to know about the truth and to believe and accept the truth. Because of this, they think that they confess their faith by saying statements such as, "Yes, I believe that God exists," or "Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God," "Yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and resurrected after 3 days," or sometimes, "Yes, I believe that Jesus will come again and lead us to eternal life." What do you think? Do you think that confessing these statements is faith? In today's passage of Romans chapter 10, it will explain what biblical faith is. Let's read verse 9 first. "Say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved." When you first listen to this, it sounds like we can earn salvation by saying that Jesus is our Lord and believing that God brought Jesus back to life. In other words, the statements that I had mentioned earlier do seem to show someone's faith. However, this is not the case. The Greek word homologo means to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord, but it does not simply mean to say these things. It actually means that our words and actions must align. Therefore, accepting Jesus as our Lord means to start living with Jesus as the Master. In other words, it means that we become a servant of Jesus, and as a servant of Jesus, we should live by obeying the Master. Also, since we believe that God will save us just as he saved Jesus from the dead, we should not look towards the worldly things anymore, but start looking towards eternal things. Faith is not just accepting and agreeing with a certain fact. It also includes living by that faith because you agreed with the facts. This is explained more in verses 13 and 14, which says, "Scripture says, 'Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on him unless they believe in him?'" These verses say that those who call on Jesus' name will be saved and ask how people can call on Jesus' name if they don't believe in him. During challenging moments in your life, whose name do you call out? Who do you ask for help? If you seek out God first, you believe that God is the Lord. However, if you look for other people around you first, you do not yet believe that God is the Lord. I hope that we will be able to check if our faith agrees with what the Bible says that faith is. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to know that faith is not simply just to accept facts. Instead, please help us to have true faith so that we can actually live by it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, John Backus from Arizona will read the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 21 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is John Backus. I'm 17 years old and I live in Phoenix, Arizona. Today, I'm going to read Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Let's read the Bible. "Brothers and sisters, with all my heart, I long for the people of Israel to be saved. I pray to God for them. I can tell you for certain that they really want to serve God. But how they are trying to do it is not based on knowledge. They didn't know that God's power makes people right with himself. They tried to get right with God in their own way. They didn't do it in God's way. Christ has fulfilled everything the law was meant to do, so now everyone who believes can be right with God. Moses writes about how the law could help a person do what God requires. He writes, "The person who does these things will live by them." But the way to do what God requires must begin by having faith in Him. Scripture says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will go up into heaven?' That means to go up into heaven and bring Christ down. And do not say, 'Who will go down into the grave?' That means to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The message is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. This means the message about faith that we are preaching. Say with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord.' Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. With your heart, you believe and are made right with God. With your mouth, you say what you believe, and so you are saved. Scripture says, 'The one who believes in him will never be put to shame.' There is no difference between those who are Jews and those who are not. The same Lord is Lord of all. He richly blesses everyone who calls on him. Scripture says, 'Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.' How can they call on him unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him unless they hear about him? How can they hear about him unless someone preaches to them? And how can anyone preach without being sent? It is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all the people of Israel accepted the good news. Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' So faith comes from hearing the message. And the message that is heard is the message about Christ. But I ask, didn't the people of Israel hear? Of course they did. It is written, 'Their voice has gone out into the whole earth. Their words have gone out from one end of the world to the other.' Again, I ask, didn't Israel understand? First, Moses says, 'I will use people who are not a nation to make you jealous. I will use a nation that has no understanding to make you angry.' Then Isaiah boldly speaks about what God says. God said, 'I was found by those who were not trying to find me. I made myself known to those who were not asking for me.' But Isaiah also speaks about what God says concerning Israel. God said, 'All day long I have held out my hands. I have held them out to a stubborn people who do not obey me.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. God, thank you for the gift of salvation and making us right with you when we believe in Jesus. We praise and worship you as our Lord and glorify your holy name and the power of your resurrection. You loved the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We long to see every nation be saved and worship you as their Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and raise up our generation with boldness and the power to preach your gospel to the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. Thank you.
is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes each week. Here's the first episode.
Are you struggling to forgive someone? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. When you think about forgiveness, you probably don't think about finances and debt, but that's actually a parallel that a lot of the Bible draws, debt and forgiveness, and forgiving a debt. We're going to dig a little deeper into this and a parable that Jesus told in our devotion called When I Don't Want to Forgive, that was written by Doug Velting. When someone has mistreated or hurt us, it feels like we have a right to hate that person. Even if we know the Bible teaches we should forgive, sometimes we just don't want to do it. One of the ways Jesus taught about forgiveness was by telling a parable where the king represents God and the servants represent us. The king in the story wants to make sure his finances are in order, and he discovers a servant owes him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is worth 6,000 denarii, and you may now be wondering, okay, what's a denarii worth? Well, since a working man received 1 denarius a day, 1 talent was equal to about 20 years worth of wages. The servant owes 10,000 of these, so that was a debt of over 200,000 years worth of wages. It's obvious the servant cannot pay back such an exorbitant amount of money. When one servant pleads with the king to be patient with him, what's the king's response, though? The king has compassion, and he actually canceled the debt. Now, why would he do that? It's in the king's character to be compassionate. Love and mercy are who the king is. Now, that same servant who had the massive debt has just been forgiven, and then he finds a fellow servant who owes him money. How much? 100 denarii, or about 100 days' wages. Thing is, do you notice the second servant has a plea that's the same as the first servant's plea to the king? The first servant has a legal right to jail the second servant who can't pay his debt, but does he have the moral right? That's the entire point of this parable. We owed a massive debt of sin to God, the holy king of everything. We can never pay back our debt. But God forgave our debt by paying it himself. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, and he rose from the dead to give us new life. If we put our trust in Jesus and received his forgiveness, he commands and equips us to show fellow sinners the same mercy he showed us. The sin others commit against us is incredibly small in comparison to Jesus' mercy. And his Holy Spirit is in us, transforming us to be more and more like Jesus, the forgiving King. Once we receive forgiveness from God, we have no right to refuse to forgive others. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Are you struggling to forgive someone? God sees your hurt, and it's a big deal to him because he loves you. It cost Jesus greatly to forgive you, but it was worth it to him. How might remembering how Jesus forgave you and relying on his Holy Spirit help you to forgive others? In some cases, after we forgive someone, we still need to have healthy boundaries with them. Who are trusted Christians you can talk to about when and how to put up loving boundaries? As you and I can read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, which includes that parable that we were talking about in our devotion today to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. How would you like to write for Unlocked, just like Doug did for our devotion today? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to look at a best friend forever. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
Do you ever just sit and try to comprehend how big the love of God really is? Hey there, Emily Tenter here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Today's story looks at a Bible verse you've probably heard before, maybe even memorized, John 3:16. Sometimes it's good to take another look at something we've heard a lot and look at it fresh, So here we go. This story is called For God So Loved, and it was written by Rebecca Miner. No other love we can experience will ever compare to the love Christ Jesus offers. We may get glimpses of love shown by others, but it will never compare to what Jesus has to offer. His love is so pure, strong, measureless, fulfilling, and satisfying. He completely understands us. He has provided for us when we fail. He always longs for us to be in relationship with Him. John 3:16 displays a simple yet profound layout of God's love toward us. The world needed a rescuer because God's good creation was broken by sin when the first humans went their own way against God. When we were all hurtling toward death because of sin, God intervened. Because God loved the world He created, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully human. Jesus willingly sacrificed His own life on the cross to forgive sin, and He rose from the dead, defeating all sin, death, and brokenness. Whoever believes in Christ Jesus will be saved and have eternal life, living with God forever. Believing in Jesus means putting our trust in the person of Jesus with all that He has accomplished in His life, death, and resurrection. Once we've put our trust in Jesus, we are forgiven and free. And we can be sure that nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love, no matter what sin we've committed. God's grace is enough. Jesus took the penalty for all our past, present, and future sins on the cross. And when Jesus returns, He will resurrect us from the dead and renew His creation. As believers in Jesus, we are forgiven, loved, and redeemed. And this truth affects the way we live. Jesus said in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free." Christians aren't slaves to sin anymore. Romans 6:15-23 tells us that. Because Jesus' Holy Spirit is in us, He empowers us to follow Him, saying no to sin and instead living in God's good ways as His love overflows from us. But no matter how many times we fail, Jesus' forgiveness is always enough to guarantee our eternal future with Him. John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." So let's talk about this. The good news of Jesus is a wonderful mystery that God reveals to us through His Word. Who's a trusted Christian in your life that you could talk to about this if you have questions? When we understand that we need the gospel, this naturally flows into a desire to share the good news with others. What opportunities might God be giving you to share the gospel? Do some reading on your own today. Check out the rest of John chapter 3, as well as Romans 8, 38-39 to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here today for this episode of Unlocked. I hope you were encouraged by our devotion today. Maybe you have something to say to encourage others and you'd like to write for Unlocked. We have writer's guidelines on our website, unlocked.org, and we'd love to read what you come up with. Okay, that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Give praise to
Coming up next, children's Bible drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. Although God said he wouldn't save them, the Israelites removed the idols within them and cleansed themselves. They diligently served God and the Israelites gained courage. It was courage that formed in God's people. Therefore, they decided to fight the Ammonites who tormented them. However, they needed someone to be their leader, but they didn't know whom they should choose. Then a few people remembered Jephthah, who they drove out from their village and recommended him to the elders. Jephthah lived in the land of Tob, and he was strong. He lived in a mountain where others who have been driven out are gathered. The leaders of the region of Gilead was named Gilead, and he had a son named Jephthah with his concubine. Gilead's wife couldn't conceive, so he had a son through a concubine to continue the family line. That son was Jephthah. After Gilead was born, Gilead's wife became pregnant and bore a few sons. Jephthah, who was born from Gilead's concubine, and the sons born from Gilead's wife grew and became adults. The elders from the region of Gilead advised the sons born from Gilead's wife.
You are the valuable sons of the land of Gilead.
Yes, elder. What brings you here?
Your father Gilead is getting old and will die soon. When your father dies, you will have to divide the inheritance. However, your father had a son named Jephthah with his concubine.
Yes, he is our oldest brother.
Jephthah is older than you, but he was born from your father's concubine. Therefore, there is no need for you to share the inheritance with him. Furthermore, if he claims to be the eldest son of this household, then according to Israel's law, he will receive twice the inheritance. Will you be fine with that?
We haven't thought about that.
Now do as I say. Since Jephthah is the concubine's son, you can drive him out by saying that he cannot receive your father's inheritance. We will help support you. Jephthah is very strong, and he might try to take all your inheritance. Before that happens, hurry and drive him out.
Yes, we will do so.
According to the law of Moses, if the concubine's son is the eldest son, he has a right to receive an inheritance. However, the elders of Israel violated that law and urged the sons of Gilead to drive out Jephthah. This is how the people of Gilead drove Jephthah out from the village. They drove out Jephthah in this way, but now that they need help, they are looking for Jephthah to request help. It's just like how the Israelites drove God away, but now that they need help, they are seeking God and asking for help. The elders of Gilead found Jephthah living in the land of Tob.
Stop! Who are you?
Yes. We are the elders who came from Gilead. We came here to see Jephthah.
Elders of Gilead? Wait a moment. Jephthah! Jephthah!
What is it?
The elders of Gilead came to see you.
The others at Gilead? Bring them here at once.
Yes.
Jephthah's soldiers dragged the elders of Gilead before them.
Jephthah, have you been well?
You drove me out of the village. Why have you come here to see me? Are you trying to drive me out of here as well? No, of course not. We are going to fight with the descendants of Ammon. We came here to ask if you can please come and be our army commander.
You want me to be your army commander?
How will Jephthah respond to the elders of Gilead who came to ask him to be their army commander? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
You to participate in our program, Let's Read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following is a program daily devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we'll listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotionals. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now, it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
It was fun reminding Grandma and Grandpa about what's really important. And I don't mean just ice cream.
We all need a constant reminder of what's important in life, knowing Jesus. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids, and I hope you're doing well. My name is Zach. Let's get started today. So, can I be honest with you? I lose my keys all the time. Whenever I can't find them, I have to be reminded about where I put them. It matters because without them, I wouldn't be able to go anywhere. It's like that in life, too. We all need constant reminders of what's important. Not money, not fame, not even just going to church. What's most important in life is Jesus. Here's your reminder today. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, without Him, nothing else in this world matters. And that's exactly what our story is all about today. It's called Don't Forget What's Important. Mom, hollered Haley, you did it again. Haley and her brother Jordan shared a knowing grin. Is that the second time today? Third, Jordan corrected just as Mom bustled into the kitchen. The third what? She asked. They pointed to the open microwave. My tea! Mom retrieved the forgotten mug and sipped. Guess I'll have to reheat it. Just don't walk away and get distracted again, Jordan teased. Putting your tea in the microwave doesn't help you if you never drink it. You'll still be thirsty. And doing good deeds doesn't help you if you don't have faith. You'll still be thirsty for Jesus, Haley chimed in. Definitely true, Mom agreed. Soon, Haley and Jordan's grandparents arrived. The kids were staying the weekend with them at their lake cabin. As they piled into the car, Grandpa crouched under the steering wheel. George, what on earth are you doing? Grandma demanded. Maybe I dropped them, he muttered. A little louder for the kids' benefit, he added. Just practicing yoga, dear. The twinkle in his eye tipped them off. Grandma sighed. Sitting in a car is no good without keys in the ignition. You go nowhere. The kids giggled in the back seat. And sitting in church is no good without Jesus in your heart. You grow nowhere, Jordan piped up. At the cabin, the kids were unpacking when they noticed Grandma going through drawers. What are you looking for, Grandma? Haley asked when they joined her. Her glasses took a vacation in the Highlands, Grandpa said with a wink. Grandma ignored them, but the kids saw clearly what he meant. Grandma's glasses were perched on her head. Glasses won't do you any good if you don't know where they are, dear, Grandpa said. The kids smothered a giggle. Then Haley quipped, and the Bible won't do us any good if we don't know what it says. You two are full of wisdom today, Grandma said. Always helping us remember the important things. Absent-mindedly, she scratched her head and discovered her glasses. Mercy! I didn't forget something else important, Grandma, Haley said slyly. There's ice cream in the freezer. So how about you? Do you remember what's truly important? It's easy to get distracted and forget things, but some things are too important to forget. Having faith in Jesus is most important of all. When you trust in Him, He changes your heart. And as you read and listen to His words and spend time with Him, He helps you grow. He is what's most important in your life. So don't forget. Our key verse is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And our key thought for the day, don't forget what's truly important. When you join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program, you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is the time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
You wouldn't think breaking a toe is a big deal, because it's so small. But I couldn't do anything for days after.
Ouch! Hurting even a tiny part of your body can affect the whole thing. Hi, I'm Zach, and you're listening to Keys for Kids. Do you ever wonder if you matter? Or if you just disappeared, would anyone even care? You might feel insignificant, but don't believe that feeling. Remember this, you matter a lot to God. Plus, if you're a Christian, you matter a lot to your church family too. Each person is an important part in God's family, and He uses each one of us to encourage and to teach each other. It's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. He said, "We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." Speaking of parts of the body, our story is called Thomas's Toe. Thomas stretched, yawned, and turned off the alarm. For several minutes, he argued with himself. One voice in his head said, "Get up, it's time for church." Another voice said, "Why not skip it? Your parents don't go. Sleep a little longer." In the end, the wrong voice won. "No one will care," Thomas mumbled as he pulled the blanket over his head. "I doubt anyone notices if I'm there or not." At recess the next day, Thomas tripped over a stump and broke a toe. "Ouch!" he moaned as the doctor checked it out. "It hurts so bad." Dr. Bradford nodded. "It will hurt for a while, but it will heal just fine. Give it time." When Thomas went to the mall with his mom on Saturday, he saw his Sunday school teacher there. While mom paid for the things she was buying, Thomas and Mr. Wallace talked. "I see you're limping. Did you hurt your foot?" asked Mr. Wallace. "Is that why you weren't at church last week?" "I broke my toe on Monday," Thomas answered. "I didn't come Sunday because, well, I just figured I wouldn't be missed anyway." "Oh, you were missed," said Mr. Wallace. "The kids wondered if you were sick. They prayed for you." "Really?" Thomas asked. "Really," Mr. Wallace replied. "When you're absent, there's a big gap in our class." He pointed to Thomas's foot. "Your toe isn't very big, but when you broke it, did it just bother that one toe or did it affect your whole body?" "For a couple of days, I couldn't do much at all," Thomas said. He laughed. "Dad said I acted like I broke my back." "So it affected your whole body," said Mr. Wallace with a smile. "It's like that with Christians, too. Together, we make up the body of Christ, the church. Each one of us is important, even those who may think they're the little toe. When one member hurts, we all hurt." He patted Thomas's arm. "You're important to our class, Thomas. Don't ever forget that." Thomas grinned. "I won't, Mr. Wallace. My toe won't let me. For a while, every step I take will remind me. I'll see you in the morning." So how about you? Do you know someone who feels unimportant and needs some encouragement? Every Christian is a member of the body of Christ, and each one of us is important. As we pray for one another and share in each other's joy and sorrow, we encourage each other in our faith and remind one another of the love of Jesus. Don't neglect getting together with other Christians. You need them, and they need you. Our key verse is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. It says,
"We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other."
And our key thought for the day, each Christian is important. I love to hear from listeners like you. So if you ever have a question about God, the Bible, or anything else, you can send it to me. I'll do my best to answer right away. Plus, every time a new issue of the Keys for Kids print devotional comes out, we include some of the questions from kids like you. Just go to keysforkids.org/heyzach. I'm Zach. Thanks for joining me today on Keys for Kids.
Here's Wednesday's daily devotional.
I forgot my key and Mom's not home yet. I need to find a way to break into my own house.
I have an idea. Why not knock on the door and see if someone is home? Have you ever been locked out of your house? If so, then you'll want to listen to today's story on Keys for Kids. You know, last summer I drove my car to the beach with a couple of friends. After swimming and having fun for the day, it was time to go home. Only one problem, I couldn't find my keys to the car. After searching for an hour, I realized I left them in the car. They were there the whole time. Sometimes the answer to our problem is right in front of us, kind of like prayer. If you have a situation in your life that's bugging you, why not ask God for help? James chapter 4, verse 2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask. Our story for the day is entitled Knock Knock. All the way home from school, Hugh worried about how he'd get into the house. Maybe Mom will be home from work early today, he thought. But when he got home, Mom's car wasn't in the driveway. Oh well, Marilyn will be here in a minute. She'll have a key. As expected, his sister soon arrived. Do you have your house key? Hugh asked. I forgot mine. Marilyn shook her head. I forgot mine too. Hugh sighed. Maybe a basement window is unlocked. Let's check. They did, but none of the windows would open. Let's try this bathroom window, Hugh said. Locking his hands together, he held them out. The window's too high to reach from the ground, but this will make a step for you. But when Marilyn tried to step up into his hands, they gave way and both kids fell. As they got to their feet, Mom's car pulled into the driveway. Oh, good, here's Mom, said Marilyn. But Mom didn't get out of the car. A man got out and knocked on their door. He waved to them as he waited, and they realized it was their neighbor who worked at a nearby service station where Mom often took her car when it had a problem. To the kid's surprise, Mom opened the door. Thanks, Jerry, she said as he handed her the car keys. You seem to have a way with that car. As their neighbor walked away, Mom turned and saw Marilyn and Hugh. Hi, kids. You're home a little late today. What have you been up to? Hugh and Marilyn looked at each other and began to laugh. Neither of us had a key, so we were trying to break in because we thought nobody was home, said Marilyn. It didn't occur to us to knock and find out for sure. Mom laughed. That reminds me of a verse we read during devotions this morning, the one that says, "Knock and the door will be opened to you." Yeah, too bad we didn't think to knock on the house door, Hugh said. Or do what the verse said and pray about our problem. Mom nodded. We can always bring our worries to God. He cares and will help us through any problem we face. So what about you? Are you worried about a problem in your life? Have you thought to knock? That's a word that Jesus used when he was talking about asking God for something you need. Take your problem to him in prayer. Jesus invites you to talk with him about it. He cares for you and will help you through every problem you face. So trust him to give you the best answer. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of James, chapter 4, verse 2.
You do not have because you do not ask.
And our key thought for the day, ask God for help. You can check out the Keys for Kids stories every day on the Keys for Kids app. Just search for Keys for Kids on your app store. You can also listen to music made just for you on Keys for Kids Radio and discover more stories like Down Gilead Lane and Red Rock Mysteries. Once again, just search your app store for the words Keys for Kids. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Well, I'm only an inch too short. Can't I go on the roller coaster anyway? I mean, I'm really close after all.
When it comes to coasters, close doesn't count. It's the same when it comes to heaven. Do you like to ride roller coasters? If so, stick around for our story right here on Keys for Kids. Roller coasters, I really love to ride them. But a lot of roller coasters will only let you ride if you're a certain height. If you're just even 1 inch too short, you can't get on them. Some people think they can get to heaven by being close enough too. They think doing good things or being a really nice person is all it takes. But the Bible is clear. The only thing that will get you into heaven is Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says this, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Our story today is entitled, Not Close Enough. "Let's go ride on the midnight storm next," Brennan called to his brothers. Theo and Alec agreed, and they all hurried over to the line of people waiting for a turn on the bigger roller coaster. They were almost to the turnstile when an attendant stopped them. Hold on there, buddy. Let's see how tall you are. Brennan looked nervously at his older brothers as he walked to a sign with a big line on it. He stood as tall as he could while the attendant checked his height. I'm sorry, the attendant said, but you're about an inch too short to go on this ride. But it's so close. Can't you just let him on? Asked Theo. The attendant shook his head. It's not close enough. For safety reasons, every rider must be at least 48 inches tall. Brennan was disappointed, but he urged his brothers to go on the ride without him. I'll just wait here, he said. That evening, the family talked about the fun they'd had at the park. But don't you think they should have let me on the Midnight Storm? Brennan asked. Yeah, said Theo. I mean, only 1 inch too short. That should be close enough. Dad shook his head. Close doesn't count in a lot of things. Math answers have to be exactly right, and words on spelling tests can't have a single wrong letter. It reminds me of another area of life where seeming like we're close doesn't help. What's that? Asked Alec. We might think that if we live a good life according to people's standards, that makes us good enough to get to heaven, Dad said. But in God's eyes, we still fall short. Each one of us is a sinner who has done wrong, and nothing we do can make us good enough to be in God's presence. That's why we need Jesus, said Theo. Dad nodded. As God's perfect son, only he meets God's standard. When we trust in him, he takes away our sin and gives us his righteousness, our goodness. Then we meet the mark in God's eyes. Brennan grinned. Compared to that, Midnight Storm doesn't seem like such a big deal. I guess I can wait till next year to ride on it. So how about you? Do you do lots of good things? Do you obey your parents and help around the house, respect your teachers, treat other people well, and in general try to live a good life? Well, that's great. Many people may see you as a good person. But God says you're still a sinner. The only way to meet his standard is to receive the righteousness of his son, Jesus. For more information on what it means to follow Jesus, just go to keysforkids.net/salvation. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And our key verse for today, Jesus gives us his righteousness. When you join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program, you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I hate math. Word problems don't make any sense to me, and I'm gonna fail my math test tomorrow.
You've studied hard and done all of your homework. Now pray and give your worries to Jesus. Happy Sunday and welcome to Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach, and as always, I'm super glad that you're listening today. School isn't always easy, and you know what? It's not meant to be easy. It's supposed to challenge you and help you expand your thinking abilities. But sometimes that means you may have a test that you're stressed out about every once in a while. You should definitely study hard for your tests and make sure you do all your homework, but you don't need to be anxious about how well you do. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Our story today is called, "Don't Worry, Pray." Gabe crumpled up his paper and threw it across the kitchen table. "I hate math. These word problems don't make any sense."
"Read one to me," said Mom. "We can figure it out together."
Gabe read the problem out loud. Ryan found 45 golf balls. His dad gave him 3 more. Then Ryan sold 1/3 of all his golf balls to Sam. After Sam took his, Ryan lost 6 balls. How many balls did he have left?
"Okay." Mom grabbed a piece of paper and a pencil. "So what's the first step?"
Together, Gabe and his mom calculated the answer, then went on to find answers to 5 more word problems. But Gabe still worried.
I'm gonna bomb this test tomorrow, he said, rubbing a hand over his eyes. But you just finished 6 problems correctly, said Mom. Gabe shrugged. With your help? I'm afraid I'm going to forget things and mess it all up. Mom closed the math book. Gabe, you've done everything you should do to prepare for this math test. Everything that is, except for the most important thing. What's that? Gabe asked. Throughout the Bible, God tells us not to worry or be scared. Instead, we should ask Him for help with every problem we face and then trust that He will bring it. Mom grinned and ruffled Gabe's hair. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't study hard, do your homework, and listen in class. We should do what we can to prepare for things like math tests. But you also need to pray and ask Jesus to help you do your best. Then give your worries to Him and trust Him with the situation. Mom looked Gabe in the eyes. And remember that no matter what grade you get on your test, He will always love you and be with you. If things don't go the way you had hoped, you can share your worries with Him then too and feel peace knowing He'll take care of you. Gabe closed his eyes and folded his hands. Jesus, please help me remember that You are with me when I take this test tomorrow. Help me feel Your peace knowing You'll take care of me no matter what happens. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Gabe opened his eyes. Now I'm really prepared. So how about you? Are you worried about something? Have you spent time working on the problem and still feel nervous that things won't turn out well? Don't forget the most important thing that you can do is pray. Talk to Jesus about your worries and remember that He promises to take care of you no matter what happens. Then prepare as best you can and trust Him with the results. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 7.
Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you.
And our key thought for the day, give your worries to Jesus. When you spend time with God this summer, you could win. Join the Word with Zach summer reading program and read the Keys for Kids stories every day. And then you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. And if you read all summer, you'll be entered for a chance to win the grand prize, your very own Bluetooth speaker. So get ready for Word with Zach now. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Lord, if we could, we would fill our hands with all the wonderful things You give us. Then we'd lift them up and give them back to You.
To you, Lord.
I give it to You, Lord.
And
fun listening to our program today? I hope that you'd read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye!